Blog Talk Radio.
Version of the Phil and Bill show, and for people that are just joining us and don't know, but Bill has some illnesses in the family, and he's not here tonight. Been gone for a few shows. Be back shortly, and can I show something different that we don't usually do? A gentleman by the name of Juan Lopez is going to call in. Or I'll probably call him. It depends. I see a number from that area right now. So let me finish what I'm doing, and then I'll check and see who that is. Otherwise, we'll give Juan a call. But Juan's running for sheriff up in San Mateo County. He's brought to my attention by Evelyn, Niners girl Garcia. So we'll see who this is, and if it's... If it's not Juan, we'll ring him up. Hello, 286. Can you tell me who this is, please? 650-286. Did you want to talk or just listen? Hello? Okay, we'll ring Juan up here. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Juan?
Yes.
This is Philip.
Hey, Philip, how are you?
Good. We're calling you from the radio show, and got your email the other day. I glanced through it. I understand you're going to be running for sheriff as a writing candidate. Do you want to tell us a little more about that, please?
Absolutely. I went actually to put myself on the candidate list and ran into a bunch of brick walls put up by the elections office. As I try to complete the process, they, of course, drug it out and made it impossible for me to complete. Anyways,
right.
I didn't allow them to detour me, so I ended up... filling out the paperwork as a write-in candidate. So that's where I find myself currently, as a write-in candidate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they usually do that. I mean, it's just like when my partner Bill and I, somebody runs for office here, once they, if they win, we set up an appointment and we talk to them about what their policies and what they're going to do. And same thing, we got they're looking for a new police captain for Oceanside down here. So we're waiting to see who they get. Yeah, so we're waiting to see who they get so we can talk to him and see what his policies are going to be. Because like I asked you, if you were biker friendly, and
absolutely.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because a lot of people is just because of the culture they get turned off by it.
Oh no, that's like I told you earlier when I sent you the text. That's what makes this country so great. No group of people are alike. I mean, everybody is different. Everybody came to this country from different parts of the world. That's what makes us unique. We're a melting pot, and, I mean, we've got to learn to accept pretty much everybody around us. I mean, that's what makes the United States such a strong place.
That's true. And, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to tell you, just to give you a little brief background about myself.
Sure.
I'm born and raised in
the Bay Area. That was my next question.
Okay. Born and raised in the Bay Area. Ended up going to school while I was at work at the sheriff's office. Ended up getting my associate's degree in university studies, my bachelor's degree from California State University, Long Beach, in vocational education so I can teach. Ended up returning and getting my master's in Emergency Services Administration for Homeland Security.
Uh-huh.
So I believe I'm a little well-rounded for the position. I've been in law enforcement for 26 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've pretty much worked every facet of the agency where I believe that I can go through and without a problem take this agency into a better position than what it's in. I believe in educating our line work as well as our employees and as well as having them return to school. A more educated law enforcement officer is a more professional law enforcement officer. And
right, and I always tell them that a well-informed citizen scares them too.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We can get things done more by everybody working together than people not working together.
Right. That's absolutely right.
Well, our agency has made a number of mistakes in the past, and I believe one of the biggest mistakes, and most people don't know, is the fact that they closed our sex unit down in approximately 2007.
That's where you keep track of all the sexual offenders and the predators and pedophiles, correct?
That's correct. Well, we not only take care of that in that unit, but they handle, at that time, it was probably a little over 300 cases a year. And they only had, at the time, two detectives and a sergeant. And for those amount of cases in a year, you should at least have a minimum of 10 people working that along with the sergeant and a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, our agency has fallen behind in that aspect, and needless to say, the people that were in that unit no longer are there. So all these sex registrants that come to register with us, that's pretty much the only contact that they have with law enforcement from our agency. There's nobody to go out and, number one, this person registered saying, I live at this address. There's nobody there to check to see if, in fact, he lives there. Number two, there's nobody to check to see if, okay, he registered that he worked at this location. nobody to check that. I found in the past when I worked investigations for a number of years, that was my primary assignment, was sex cases. I find that some of these folks have a tendency of renting an apartment, and when you go speak with the manager, they say, yes, this apartment is rented out to this person. However, when you knock on the door and introduce yourself to the person that answers, he says, yes, I sublease it from this person. He doesn't live here. I do. And there's our agency has taken over three other cities that attempted to save money by contracting services through our agency. And at that time, there were a large number of sexual registrants. And now with these three other cities, I can imagine if that number didn't double, if not even larger.
Wow.
So, I mean, and the citizens of the county don't really even know that our unit is closed since 2007.
Mm-hmm. Has it been brought to the attention to the newspapers or anybody where they put anything out?
Well, I tried giving that to one of the newspapers yesterday, but they briefly touched, literally briefly, I think it was one sentence,
wow,
stating that they had closed the unit years back.
Yeah.
My friend Evelyn, I think, sent you a copy of that newspaper article.
Yes, she did. I just got a request if you would speak a little louder. They said it's hard to hear you.
Sure.
There you go.
How's that?
Yeah, better? Perfect. Sometimes this works out different, and sometimes people, it sounds like people are yelling, and sometimes it sounds like they're whispering.
No, I understand. I'll do my best to make sure I'm out there so that way everybody can hear. But there are a number of different aspects that I would love to change within our agency. I mean, that's one of them. Our domestic violence unit also was closed. I mean, it was the one in charge of not only dealing with the domestic violence, but also teaching not only our staff, but as well as putting on classes for the public. Our resources have been moved, and they have been put elsewhere. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, our county leaders have already identified it as an important issue, and we ended up closing it down.
I mean, wow.
Currently, our agency is building a new jail facility.
Uh-huh.
And the worst part about it is it's not next to the county campus where the other facility is. I mean, it would have made it much easier for transporting people to court, for moving people around. Unfortunately, they moved it to another part of town, which now creates a bigger problem. I mean, one of the biggest problems with that is, number one, it puts law enforcement, our staff, in danger, because now when you move people, you're moving them in a vehicle, and I mean, it's easy if the person is someone of high interest that other people can get hurt.
Right.
I mean, it also stretches our staffing to where now you have different people in different locations where it would have been easy to get help just by literally running across the street from one
mm-hmm.
facility to another. Now it'll take a few minutes before they can get help if they need it immediately. And it's, again, puts our staff in danger, as well as the,
right.
The inmates that we're watching. It just stretches infrastructure, and it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of county resources going to that, and those should be relegated to hiring more staff, and that's even another issue that I would change. We're losing a lot of people to retirements and
uh-huh.
a few other people going to other agencies. We're not hiring, number one, fast enough to maintain, So, I mean, our staffing levels literally are always at minimum staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're asking us to do, is to run our patrol, our jails at minimum staff, which creates a safety issue, pretty much not only for our staff, but, again, the inmates involved.
So they're having a lot of issues with the short and long term strategies for public safety.
Well,
they
have no short term or long term strategies, and that's the issue. Is there's no real direction or guidance that people can look at and say, okay, this is where we're going, so we need to head in that direction. I mean, that's one of the main things that I would change, is literally, again, giving them guidance. I'd come up with, you know, I'd have somebody do a study and say, okay, let them know these are my plans. You know, help me put this together so we can, you know, guide this agency in the proper direction. I mean, mm-hmm. we are the third richest county of the state of California. I don't understand why we are not the best trained. I don't understand that. All that money is reimbursed by our California Post organization for training. So it's not like they're not going to get their money back, but we are relegated to literally getting the bare minimum of training every year. And that to me is unacceptable.
Right.
I mean, we should be putting on classes. We can be bringing the instructors from other areas to teach classes at our organization, and we can invite the rest of the county to come in and learn
mm-hmm.
in our setting. And we can turn around and record that and use that as a training session for others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed, though, but a lot of it has to do with that I see from the outside looking in, because you're on the inside looking out. But what I see is the same thing with the money issues. They keep saying there's not enough money to go around. I'm sure that $1.5 million Obama spent in Brussels could be well used in your area.
Oh, absolutely. And again, one of the biggest problems is when you come into this situation and you're given money every year, no matter what. You're given the same amount of money, you have a tendency of not really paying attention to how you're spending it. I was asked a question yesterday, what would be the difference if I was the one leading the organization? And like I told them, I said, the administrators that are there now have forgotten what it is to actually do the work. I'm at the bottom. I do a lot of the work, and a lot of times whenever different projects years back were brought up, they
mm-hmm.
asked me to do it because I needed literally no guidance. I would
mm-hmm.
figure out how to do it, what needed to be done, and looked at the different avenues in order to complete that, and would actually complete it and write the process down for our administrative staff. And they have a tendency of thinking, okay, I'm way up here. I'm going to make the decision to do it this way. Well, you know, that works fine in some instances, but in most it doesn't. And most of the time you forget, you need to talk to the person that actually is doing the work. Hey, you know, what can I do to make your job easier? You know, and once you get that information, then you can actually start making changes. But you need the line staff's information, input, to actually make a decision. You know.
Yeah, that's kind of like in my job too. They always come up with these ideas, but they don't go out and talk to the worker first. They do it after
Absolutely.
They implement the idea.
Absolutely, they have a tendency of implementing plans sometimes that is forcing us to put a square peg into a round hole.
Absolutely. I feel you there.
There's a lot of us. Absolutely. There's a number of us that can actually maneuver it enough that we're able to do that. But, I mean, we're not getting the same quality of worker anymore. And it's, again, because they're in a hurry to try to fill the spots. Like with this new facility, we're losing a lot of people come this March to retirement. And in the past 8 or 9 years, we've hired a lot of people that have retired from other agencies that have come to our agency, and their plan is to stay 5 to 10 years and then retire on a second time. They haven't taken into account that, number one, let's say we're losing 30 people or 40 people come March. Well, now you add that to the number of people that have been here for 9 years and that are leaving when they reach their 10th year. All these people that have retired and came here to work, there's a good number of those. So that you can add probably another 10, maybe 12 people. So instead of in all actuality losing 30, we're losing 42 to 45 people. And we hire 12, maybe 13 people a year because it takes a lot of time and effort to do a background check on people. And they haven't planned or they haven't staffed our unit to do more than that. And unfortunately, when they say they want to hire 100 people in a year, to me that tells me they're going to not do the same job that they're doing now to hire them, and we're going to end up with a lot of problems down the road. And, I mean, we end up with the problems, but the ones that actually face the problems are the public, Joe Q citizen. I mean, most of the contacts that people have with law enforcement, it's because there's a problem occurring at home or they're getting stopped for a violation. And, I mean, they're not positive contacts, but, I mean, that's where we need to train our individuals. We need, you know, to tell them, hey, you know, this is what's going on, and you know what? Let's start having some positive contacts. You know, let's, you know, get out of your car, park your car, get out, walk down the block, and talk to the people in your patrol area.
Right.
Let them know you're human.
But you know,
let them know that you actually care.
Yeah, but a lot of times, I was brought up, you don't talk to the police unless you have to. So sometimes that bridge has to be crossed. And
absolutely,
you run into that every day.
Absolutely. When I first started working for our agency, a lot of people thought I was strange for literally parking and walking and talking to people. I mean, you see the guy out there mowing his lawn every weekend and get out of the car. You know, tell him, hey, just wanted to let you know, nice lawn. You take care of your yard very well. And you know what? That goes, you know, a long distance. Whenever something occurs, that person is more than likely going to turn around and say, hey, you know, just so you know, and give you the information. I mean, if you look back through history, that's what cops used to do. They weren't in patrol cars driving and only stopping you. They were walking.
When I was a kid in Chicago, we had the neighborhood guy.
Absolutely, and he knows you know him.
Oh, yeah. He got to know my parents very well.
Absolutely, and whenever there was an issue, I mean, you could say, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through, and that person would be able to help guide you. And if he didn't have the answer, he'd say, you know what, let me find out and let me see what I can bring back to you. And unfortunately, our agency has pulled away from that a long time ago, and it's gotten to the point where morale is just a word in the dictionary at our agency, and that's sad. You know, my thing is, to make that better, is number one, we have to get down literally to the nitty-gritty and go back and talk to these folks at the line level and say, hey, what can I do to make your job easier? What tools can I give you to help you do the job the right way? What will facilitate you specializing in something? I mean, whatever it is that your heart desires to specialize in, you know what? That's great. Let me get you those classes. We're going to get reimbursed anyways later on down the road by the state, but in the meantime,
we'll front that money and get you educated in the way you want to be educated. Because, again, you end up with a more professional officer out on the street, and that person brings positive contacts.
Yeah, he used to. We used to run, and he used to say, you guys forgot I know where you all live.
Absolutely.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Absolutely. And again, a lot of times the cop would be able to grab you and walk you home and talk to mom and say, hey, you know, this is what little Johnny was doing on the street corner. So.
Yeah. As well as, I'm not going to talk to your mom today. I'm going to talk to your dad because I get better results talking to your dad.
Absolutely. My thing is to make my agency, try to make it the best sheriff's office in the state.
Good.
I want us to be the leading edge. I want us to be the agency that other agencies look up to. I want our people to be proud of where they work.
So dealing with the write-in candidacy, how is that going with the election board? Are you getting over any hurdles with them, or are they still throwing rocks at you?
Oh, they were still throwing rocks, but as of last week, because of a friend of mine, Evelyn, she was the one who actually made it happen. As many
mm-hmm.
blockades put up, she kept knocking them down, and she ended up getting everything done to where they couldn't stop
mm-hmm.
us anymore. So we're
yes.
we are writing candidate because of her.
Yeah, she's hell on wheels.
Absolutely, and God bless her. I mean, if people were as tenacious as that, this world would be a different place.
Absolutely. And
I'd like you to do is
like I said, I talked to you earlier that we do this Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Wednesdays, usually it's I just have one guest from a TV show, and they usually hang around for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So it's hard to get two guests at the same time. Now, because
yeah.
I was going to have one guy on today, and he's a little later due to his schedule, I brought you on first as opposed to being last. And what I'd like to do is, I'll give you all the time you want. If you want Tuesday and next Thursday, that's fine. If you want 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever time you need, just let me know ahead of time, and we'll go from there. You and I will have a signed conversation, and we'll work this out.
That would be great, because I know that you have a lot of listeners, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they have questions. I'd
right.
be more than happy to answer any questions, and also let them know the some of the obstacles that we face being a write-in candidate.
It's
much more difficult. So whatever they'd like to do, whatever time you're free, I will make myself available. And
Perfect.
That's the way I'm running my sheriff's office if I get this. Open-door
mm-hmm.
policy where if somebody has an issue, they can come and talk to me.
I was talking, and I got some people up there I'm going to talk to and see and put you in touch with them or them in touch with you and see what happens because there's a big biker presence that I'm associated with up there in your area.
Great. Again, especially in our county, there's a lot of areas that they ride in. And again, to me, the way I see it is that's what makes our country great is a variety of people.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, we've backed some guys down here and backed some guys in the middle of the state, and their policies changed once they got elected.
Well, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
A lot of people just say things, and to me, my word is my bond. I mean, it's golden. If you don't have your word, you have nothing. What good are you? And
mm-hmm.
I'm more of a down-to-earth person. Like I say, I'm the person at the bottom that gets the job done, no matter what it is. You need something done, you ask me, I'll be more than happy to take care of it. And that's the philosophy I plan on pushing throughout this agency. You know, I want, if somebody has a problem, for that person to try to take care of it. And if he can't take care of it, you know what? Ask the next person, hey, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. What do you recommend? I mean, our agency is almost 700 strong, so there's no reason why somebody couldn't come up with an answer.
Right.
So
it's like I told you in the beginning of this conversation that when someone gets elected down here, like my partner has a motorcycle shop, and we had over 2,000 people in the middle of the street, bikes parked on both sides, but we had the lane open in the middle, like the fire department told us. So there's been some issues down here with the police department and motorcycles. And I didn't say motorcycle guys, I said motorcyclists, all anybody that rides. And
absolutely.
This guy rolled up and he rolled down the window and he asked my partner where the permits were. And he said, permits? Oh, the guy over there's got them. He pointed at the mayor. Mayor's the one that got us the permits. They left. They didn't bother anybody that day. The next time we had one, the mayor wasn't there. He had a speaking engagement. They gave out 92 tickets that day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's like we went down and we talked to the guy in traffic, the guy in internal affairs, because I had people writing IA complaints on what happened. And they took us in a room, told us they weren't going to record anything. The heat went up. We got locked in the room with them. And the guy sat across from me. We're not recording, but I could see the red dot in his lapel. Exactly.
Wow.
You know where I'm going with that. And,
Absolutely.
It lasted, the situation that we talked about lasted for 6 months, 11 days, and 4 hours before they started all over again. And it's like, we got a guy down here now, he's writing people tickets for their sunglasses and says that it's blocking your peripheral vision. The same gentleman pulled me over because he didn't like the helmet I was wearing and told me that it was an unsafe helmet. And I pointed at his helmet and said, well, geez, that's kind of funny because you drilled a hole in yours and you painted it. He handed me back all my information and let me go. He didn't have a leg to stand on. So this is some of the people that I'm gonna send your way, they're gonna ask you these kind of questions. How you feel about things like that? So,
I think you should be treating everybody the same. I don't care if you're white, black, yellow, purple, green, whatever. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what creed you are. What you like or you don't like. Everybody's the same in my eyes. We're all equal. Just because we wear a uniform doesn't mean that we don't put our pants on one leg at a time.
Right.
Everybody does the same. And that's the issue in my eyes is, you know, we need to bring you back down to earth.
Right.
You know, a lot of times our guys have a tendency of being a little scared because of the way we're treated down here. And you know what? It's okay to be human.
Right.
It's all right.
I mean, I had seven guys taking off their motorcycles, and I think you know how hard that is to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Seven of them. I'm working on number eight.
Oh, so again, like I said, you know, I appreciate the time you give me.
And I appreciate you taking the time to do this, because this is, like I said, this is right now, you know, I just to enlighten you a minute, humor me for a second, and I'm gonna tell you something here. Right now,
absolutely.
Okay, right now, our audience, right now, you have 212 people in the United Kingdom. Canada, you have 710. Spain, you have 147. The Philippines, you have 99 people. China now, we have 6 people who, if they get caught listening to us, will be executed because they're getting Western information. Germany, 622. Australia, 5,492, because they're having some issues down there with bikers. In Slovenia, we have 500. In Ukraine, we have 444. Russia, 410. France, 57. The United States, we have 140,273. The Netherlands, you have 1,099. Just going through the list here. Sweden, 4,366. But I just got a question. Somebody just sent me a question. They want to know what your view is on cops who do illegal arrests.
Cops that do illegal arrests?
Yes.
That's an easy one. People like that, unfortunately, every trade in the business has people
mm-hmm.
that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there in the past where I've seen people do something that they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I tell them is, number one, you need to go turn yourself in. You need to go let them know what you just did. I
mm-hmm.
said, because you know what? I don't want you to put me in that situation ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And if they keep you, you're lucky. Change your ways. But I don't condone it. I don't stand for it. And people like that should be immediately fired because you're in the wrong line of work. As I said earlier, if you don't have your word, and that's the only thing, especially in law enforcement, that's all we have. If you don't have
yeah.
your word, you have nothing. You might
and that's probably you probably along this, the same gentleman just asked me, and what about the gentleman that tamper with evidence?
Again, people like that has, in my eyes, have no place in this line of work.
Right. You know, Juan, I want you to understand something. I'm not adversarial against all policemen, all law enforcement. What I'm against is guys who think their job offers them extra rights.
Oh, no. Trust me.
With the holier-than-thou attitude.
No, trust me. I'm with you 100%. I mean, I've seen some things in the past that, again, unfortunately, I'm one of those that have a tendency of speaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind speaking out with either somebody that's on the line staff, that's my
mm-hmm.
somebody that's a supervisor, that does something wrong, I've got no problem telling them, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
You're supposed to be setting the example. And
yeah,
again,
I just wanted you to know, my boss listens to the show, too.
I'm sorry.
Oh, but, no, no worries. No, it's good. He's a good guy. Trust me, he's a real good guy.
Okay, great.
He's kept me out of handcuffs, trust me.
No, my thing, again, our word is our bond. You know, if you look back years, people would buy a car on a handshake. They'd sell and buy houses on a handshake. Now we need contracts. What does that tell you?
Right.
You know, and my thing is the way my father raised me is, you know, if you don't have your word, you have nothing. My
father told me all you come into this world with is your word and your balls, so you better use both wisely.
Absolutely. I had one attorney tell me, and it was a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We went through court, and as I was testifying, they asked me the question. You know, you stopped him because you knew he had a suspended license. I said, yes. You brought him out of the car. You began to talk with him. I said, yes. I said, you noticed something odd. I said, yes. You noticed that he had a bulge in his pants, and you knew that that wasn't a natural bulge. I said, absolutely. They said, and when you asked him to pull it out, it was a big bag full of dope individually wrapped for sales. I said, yes. He said, okay. He says, now, when you got the return to say his license was suspended and you had him sign the ticket, was it before or after you found the dope? And I mean, the only two people that were there were me and the individual that I had arrested for the dope. And I mean, I could have easily said, you know, I got the return after I found the dope.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been golden. He would have been, you know, doing time. But again, in myself, I knew that that was wrong. So I looked at the attorney and I said, well, I got the return before I found the dope.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and he says, I just want to clarify. you got the return on his status, you know, before you found the dope. I said, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned to the judge and said, Your Honor, under this section, I'd like this case dropped. And the judge looked at me and he says, okay, that motion's granted. So I go walking out the door when everything's said and done, and the guy goes back to the jail to get his property and get released. And the attorney looked at me and said, I've got a question for you. I said, sure, what's that? He said, now the only two people there were you and him. He says, why were you truthful? And I looked at him, I said, because we were both there. I said, if I don't have my word, I said, I have nothing.
Right.
I said, if one person thinks that I'm going to lie just to win, I said, I don't deserve to be that winner.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this guy walked free today. It's okay. Because he'll be out there doing the same thing tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You know, hopefully he'll learn and not do it anymore.
Right.
But in my eyes, he'll be back tomorrow. And you know what? Tomorrow he won't be as lucky. Because now
yeah.
I know where he had just...
Right.
And the attorney looked at me and says, I can't believe you were that honest. I said, what is it? Why is it a shock to you? We should all be that honest. And he just smiled and he goes, thanks. And still to this day, he still tells other attorneys that are just starting in the profession, when he sees me, he says, that's one of the most honest cops that I've ever seen. And to me, it was nothing. To me, it wasn't worth the prosecution to lie.
Uh-huh. I just got another question for you. What's your take on people videotaping?
God bless them.
There you go.
God bless. If I'm
there
not doing
go.
Anything wrong, why would I even worry if you're videotaping me? The only thing I would suggest is that you get my better side.
Hey Juan, I'm beginning to like you more and more, man.
Why? Thank you. But I mean, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have to worry about somebody videotaping. If anything, you should thank them, because
mm-hmm.
later on, that's a permanent record. You may be able to use that.
Yeah, that's true.
You can ask that person, hey, you know, I saw that you videotaped it. Do you mind if I get a copy? And
yeah.
I will put in my report that, you know, you videotaped and that you gave me a copy. And you know, the only thing that I'm going to ask you is that when I make the copy, you verify that it's an exact duplicate of what you did.
Right. See, With my job, I have to pass a very scrutinous background check
uh-huh.
because of where I work. And I happened to go to a birthday party in October of last year. And well, January, when I went down to renew my stuff, they took me in a room. They laid some pictures on the table. And I told the guy, after he asked me, I said, I was at a birthday party. And he said, can you tell me what you're doing there? And I said, yeah, I went to a birthday party. I said, but can I ask you one question? He goes, what's that? I said, those pictures are better than the ones I have. Can I get a copy of those when I leave?
Oh, I'm beginning to like you more, Philip.
Yeah, that was NCIS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, if you have nothing to hide, you should never have a problem.
Exactly. I rode to Yuma 2 years ago and got pulled over by Homeland Security, and they gave me a ticket for splitting lanes.
Oh, you're
It was
kidding.
Either, no, a guy pulled out in front of me. It was either hit him in the back or go to the right, so when I went around him, that's when they pulled me over.
Wow. You know, and that's the problem that we face with a lot of people. They have a tendency of forgetting we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all do things sometimes to avoid getting hurt. In your case,
right.
It was somebody in your lane and you went around them.
Oh, they seen it. They just pulled us over because of the group, that's all. But they didn't go to, they went to me. They didn't go to anybody else. There was guys parked behind me waiting. One guy went to talk to them and the other guys were all over me.
Wow. Yeah, no, I'm, something like that would leave me in awe. I wouldn't believe that somebody would do that. especially if you're avoiding an accident. But again, the one thing that I'm finding is common sense is an oxymoron.
That's true. That's true.
Nothing common.
What I'm going to do is, like I said earlier, Juan, I'll give you Tuesday. We can start off with you again Tuesday. And I have a lot of questions coming here. So what I'm going to do is write down these questions, and I'll forward them to you. And I won't hit you blind, but I'll forward them to you, and then I'll ask you the same questions Tuesday.
Oh,
so you know what you're going to, you know what, yeah. And it's
even if you hit me blind, even if you hit me blind with them, I wouldn't have a problem with them. Again, honesty and integrity is great.
Okay, if you want, then I'll hit you blind Tuesday. And,
okay, that sounds good.
Okay, and then, like I said, I thank you. You want to tell everybody who you are again, what you're doing, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. My name's Juan Lopez. I'm running for sheriff in San Mateo County. I'm a write-in candidate, so they would have to write my name, Juan Lopez. If your listeners have any family or friends in Northern California in San Mateo County, please pass the word. Let them know that somebody that's honest, that has integrity, that has morals and ethics, is actually running for the job of lead peace officer in that county.
Okay.
And again, I have an open-door policy. If elected, I will make it better for everyone. And I thank for all your listeners all over the world. I mean, sometimes it takes courage for those that are in places that...
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been doing this, Bill and I were doing this for, we were on, actually on AM radio. We had over 212,000 listeners, and because we made a comment of what happened when Kim Jong-un decided that the people in North Korea couldn't have hair longer than an inch and a quarter, and if they were bald, they couldn't be longer than an inch and three quarters. So this was a Tuesday night, and Bill grabs the mic, and he says, and he gets on a roll now, and he says, I want all my Korean brothers and sisters to meet me at LAX. We're going to fly to South Korea. We're going to cross the 38th parallel. We're going to go town by town, street by street, house by house, until we oust Kim Jong-un. And he hollered, freedom! The next day, we talked to two lawyers for the corporation. I won't tell you the name of the corporation who owned the radio station. They said, the two of you guys cannot do or talk about overthrowing a foreign country. Fine. Thursday night comes. Bill, you know there's not one motorcycle club in communist China? He went off again. The next Tuesday when we walked in, you guys no longer work here. Here's your last check, and there's the door. We informed you that you cannot talk about overthrowing a foreign country. So we didn't argue. We went on the internet now, and we've been on since the first of this year. I have over 3 million people have tuned into this show.
Wow. That's amazing. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, last year was 4. We don't sugarcoat anything. If you're having a bad day and somebody's giving you a bad day and you call me up and say, you know, I want to talk to this guy and he won't talk to me, I'll call him so you can talk to him.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, my hat's off to all of those that are in places where they are not supposed to be listening and are listening. That's what makes this country so great is our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
Our freedoms that people have died for the colors of red, white, and blue. And again, my hat's off to them. God bless them, and thank God we have freedom of speech.
Yes, believe me, my philosophy and Bill's philosophy is we're both veterans, we're both American citizens, and I don't believe that my right to travel should be restricted.
Absolutely.
I don't feel that one of the reasons I stayed in California after I got out of the Marine Corps was that I found that I could ride my bike every day without wearing a helmet. Then in 92, they thought they could spoil all my fun. And for 17 years, I went with the same helmet until this one guy decided he didn't like it. And 3 months later, he was no longer on a motor.
Wow.
And when he sicked his friends on me, they're no longer on motors either.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. They shouldn't target people.
Exactly.
I mean,
because
that's not
California passed the motorcycle. You can't do just motorcycle only checkpoints. So now down here, these guys try and do it under the guise of safety. So when I get the copy of what traffic grant they're going to get and what they're going to do, I post it, and people know. I have a little network set up. See, the Internet's a wonderful tool if you know how to use it. I have a little network set up where people just running around somewhere see something. If it's a traffic checkpoint, it gets posted. I'm working with another guy on the East Coast, and it's going to go national, where we have an app set up that you can download to your phone that tells you where motorcycle-only checkpoints are in your town or state. Or if you're in New York and someone here in California you know and love rides a motorcycle, and you found out they're going to do a motorcycle-only checkpoint in San Mateo, they'll get notified.
Well, what I don't understand is how they can actually do just a motorcycle checkpoint, period.
There you go. Now they threw a curveball. Not only is it illegal,
it's unconstitutional. So I really don't know how they get away with that.
No, they're doing it as a safety check now.
Well, I mean, you can name it anything you like. It is what it is.
Exactly. I knew I liked you from the start, man. I knew it. Good people.
Thank you.
So what I'll do is, like I said, I'll give you, I will call you Tuesday, or if you want to call me Tuesday, and then that'll give you a chance to notify your family, your friends, and anybody else you want to come on, and if they have any questions for me or you, we'll go from there.
That sounds good, Philip. I really appreciate the time again on the air. I really appreciate your listeners. I mean, it's a good feeling to know that there's that many people out there listening.
Yeah. And you're six people in China. Usually it's 100 to 200 people a week from China. And like I said, if they get caught listening to anything from the Western world, they get executed.
Wow. Well, God bless them. My hearts are with them.
And like I said, so I'll talk to you probably over the weekend, maybe Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely.
I'll send you a text first, and if we can talk then. Otherwise, we'll make a time to talk. And Juan, I want to thank you again, and just give everybody a brief. Go ahead and tell them who you are again. And if there's anything or anybody wants to do that can help you, do you have any links or anything that you want to throw out there?
Absolutely. It's www.electjuan.com. JUAN.com. There's a list of things that I can use. Mainly, getting the word out to people in our county. Everybody's been asking for a new administrator to run our agency, and the last time nobody ran against them. Well, this time, hey, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Please, again, Juan Lopez, pass the word.
Okay. Perfect. All right, Juan.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Juan Lopez. He's running for sheriff up in San Mateo, and he sounds like a real good guy. Let me go back to this. 650-286. Did you have anything you wanted to say, or did you just want to listen to the conversation? Okay, probably just going to listen. What I'm going to do now there, buddy, is I'm going to call our other guest, and we'll see what he's up to.
Sorry, I'm outside in the rain.
Well, don't be outside in the rain where it's dry.
Well, no, I'm in a dry spot, but it's raining. It was only like 43 out here today.
It was 94 and sunny.
I don't even want to hear it. I really don't, because I have been in 2 and 3 layers of clothes for the last like 5-6 months.
I'm going to ring this guy up here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hello, this is Emilio. I can't get to the phone right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you right back. Bye.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more.
I know he was he's involved in something today. And
right.
So he might be doing another event for the screen.
Thanks.
Yeah. So if we don't get him tonight, we'll get him next week, but what he was going to talk about was his movie that came out of Water and Power.
The Water Park, yeah.
No, not Water Park, Water and Power.
Water and Power, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I saw it, but for some reason I thought Park.
Yeah, no, it's, what it is this guy, he took it from the stage to the screen. His name is, he belonged to, he was in Culture Class, Plush, and his name is Richard Montoya, but he had a stage adaptation into this, and he turned it into a movie. It was produced by a bunch of Latino actors up in L.A., and what the story is the father, a longtime Los Angeles Department of Water and Power worker, he has high hopes for his twin sons, and Gilbert and Gabriel. One day he thinks they'll become the movers and shakers of the city, so he nicknamed them Water and Power.
Right.
He parts an important lesson about family. Without power, there's no water. Without water, there's no power. But it's a new film, and it's been written and directed by the acclaimed theater troupe, Richard Montoya. It explores how the bond is stretched to the breaking point, and Montoya adapted it from a 2006 play, same name. He won a lot of raves. It debuted on Mark Tepper Forum. Nora, you got a lot of noise in the background.
I just closed the door.
Okay.
Sorry, hockey's on.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I'm rooting for him this year. I'm rooting for him every year, but I don't want to know what's going on.
No, they're not playing tonight. Boston is.
No, I know, but I'm.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear.
I'm not going to say. Okay.
And I'm not one of those Bulls fans who jumps on the Blackhawks bandwagon. I cheered for both.
I know.
Anyway, the film opens tomorrow night, and it's had a premiere at a park in L.A. last week in front of City Hall. In the film.
Yeah, I saw that.
One becomes a hotshot lieutenant with the LAPD, and he investigates a murder that needs help from his brother, now a state senator. So basically, I'll put this up on the blog for people to read, and
okay.
We'll try.
Now, will this come out onto DVD? Is an independent film, and put out there. Sorry.
It's tomorrow in L.A. and San Diego. It opens
okay.
at AMC Theaters. I have a list here somewhere. Hang on one second. Let me go back to this here.
Because some people may want to know if it's an independent film, if it's got to get out a certain way first before it comes out to a bigger screen. You know.
No, what it is, it's opening tomorrow in Los Angeles and San Diego. In Los
okay.
Angeles, open at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 theaters in Los Angeles. And these aren't just one screen theaters. These are 14, 10, 8.
Right.
You can watch IMAX. You can watch it in ETX. You can IMAX again. In San Diego, it's going to open at the Fashion Valley 18. And in Plaza Bonita, which is east, it's going to be opening with the IMAX. So, yeah,
right.
It's...
Now, have you gone and seen it yet? Or are you going to?
No, I saw parts of all the all the trailers. And
okay.
I'm hoping to get up there tomorrow night.
Right.
Hopefully I'm not working this weekend if I get everything squared away tomorrow. And we'll go from there. But if I have to work Saturday, it's gonna be tough. I might be going in late, but I'll make it. It's up in the one premiere is gonna be up in Whittier, and
right.
everybody that I've had on the show or that are friends of all of ours are gonna make that one.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for it to get out this way so I can see it.
I think what's gonna happen is probably they'll see how it opens down, you know, in California first, and then it'll go probably
right.
the next. It'll go everywhere. But
right.
this is one of those stories. It's Edward James Olmos is I guess he's the main producer.
Yeah.
I can't answer all your questions because I haven't talked to Emilio because of his work schedule, and.
Right.
Just came back from the East Coast. But I can tell you that season 7, there's going to be a lot of strange things going on in SOA. So
yeah, I can't wait for that. But, no, I'm not asking questions or nothing. I just know I can't wait until it comes back on to see it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that.
So I'm gonna try and dial them up one more time.
Okay.
If I can't get him now, then...
And he's busy.
Yeah.
Which we all understand that. Everybody's
mm-hmm.
busy. Maybe we should leave him a voicemail. Hey!
How are you
doing? I'm kidding.
Hello, this is Emilio. I can't get to the phone right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you right back. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hello, Emilio. It's Philip. The number is 347-826-7753. I'm going to stay on for a little bit longer if you get a chance to call us back. Otherwise, I'll talk to you probably tomorrow or later tonight. And good luck with everything tomorrow on the premiere. And I hope to be up that way. And enjoy the film. Okay. What I'm going to do then is I'm going to play one song.
Okay.
And it's one by Mike P. This one's Bill's favorite, Summertime SIV.
Okay.
Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. Me. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time. Yeah. Summertime in the SFV. Something for my 818 home. Me. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, it's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30 pack, a pack of Jimmy's trash, pack of hood rats, and a pad to kick it at. I think I'll call Swim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some hoes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, too dramatic. And goddamn it, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer and wine. Not even Friday night, drunk for the 10th time. So what the fuck, I guess I'll bust another rhyme. Cause hey, all I wanna do is drink beer and screw. Hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again, representing. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 home. Tell me, baby girl, hey, are you leaving or staying? Just a fool,
couple of friends. I don't know the type of cribs that you been in, but my backyard look like a fucking Caribbean. Waterfalls, waterfalls, let's slip, let's fly. Jump in the pool, act a fool. I'm way too cool, call me GQ Smooth. It's a player's holiday, so it's time to celebrate. Got chicken on the grill, put some beer and steak. The feeling so great in the 818. It's a summertime breeze for the summertime G's and the summertime ladies with the double double D. V-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie.
This next verse right here goes out to everybody cruising Lower Canyon, homie, in 1999, 2000. Yeah, this one's for you, straight up.
In the town of 818 of the L.A. County, there's a place that we roll in the San Fernando Valley. A little boulevard is called Lower Canyon, where all the chicken heads go when it's time for landing. Hit the street looking clean, rolling these up in a Cadillac. Bumping too short like a big motherfucking Mac. Take a sip of yak just to get right. Holla at some hoes at the next red light. From Fox Avenue all the way to Brand. Turn around and come back to the three-wheel stand. Watch it jump, hydraulics in the trunk. Turn my bass up and watch my 12-inch bump. Can't fuck with my ride, homie, don't try. I'm fucking with my senses like suicide. Back to them hoes, little lady, what's your name? She rolled away hard in a blue Ford Range. She said, what's your name? I said, I'm Mike P. The lady of the night is what you might be. She said, I heard of you, you a player, right? Don't get mad at me, girl, cause I keep my game tight. She gave up the number with no fuss and fight. I'll be up in that ass later on tonight. Jump back in my ride, swerve away from the curb. Back on the boulevard for another chick to serve. Not even 8 o'clock, only got 6 numbers. I can tell right now it's gonna be a great summer. V-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. V-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie.
What I'm going to do is, right now, I'm going to play one of the trailers for that.
Okay.
Angel, she needs her soldiers. She hungers for them. You know, they're gangsters. It's just the thugs. These names will never die soon. Ever. I need to tell you a little East Side story about two brothers, two carnales named Water and Power.
You can't have one without the other. Water needs power. Power needs water.
What this is going to come down to in the City of Angels, who controls the streets? It's a lot more serious than I thought it should be.
Teños and Sureños all fighting over the twins. This is a concern.
Te lo juro, homie. His daddy marched with Cesar Chavez. His daddy starved with Cesar Chavez.
Tucanao.
Help me. I'm a monster, bro. Somebody's got to die.
If I go, you got to go.
Somebody's got to die.
Just throw your signs in the air and wave them like it just don't care. God, I love that.
You're wasting my time. Make that out, Water Village Muscle.
What about Los Feliz Muscle?
Los Feliz has muscle.
Why don't you make a muscle spreadsheet, Holmes?
Make the call, Senator.
Make the call!
God's not watching.
From the hard-working neighborhoods of East L.A. to the mean streets of Los Angeles, a new voice in American cinema.
Contrails of corruption every which way.
Nothing in L.A. is concrete, except the river. Water and power. L.A. is not for everybody.
Sounds amazing.
Huh?
I said it sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's a good fucking movie, trust me.
Yeah, well, can't wait to see it. That'd be awesome.
And so I just texted him again, see what's going on, so give it 5 minutes. If we don't get him, I'll go from there. We'll do it. We'll talk to him next
Well, I'm
week.
Sure he's probably busy or tied up with something, you know? Because I know he's really good about things otherwise.
Yeah. No, I know he's had, he had a couple of TV interviews today. So
right.
Some of them might have...
Oh. Sorry.
Let me do this. I'm going to play a little Charlie Baker. And I'm going to try something I'm going to do.
Desert air feels good on
Summertime in the valley, homie.
Oh, here we go. Our guests are here tonight. Just popped in. I got this one. Somebody wanted Led Zeppelin, but I'm going to give you a little Rusty.
Thank you.
right, I'm gonna call it a day.
Okay.
I apologize. We'll figure it out, and I'll let everybody know Tuesday what happened. But everybody should go check out that movie, Water and Power. It's a good flick. And I'll talk to everybody soon.
Okay. Have a good night.
Night.
Night.